Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Strangely enough, bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. I'm sorry there was a little confusion about programming today, but we got it, as we always do. Hey, here's something for you that's really remarkable. Infectious moods. The brain is supposed to be isolated from the immune system, but now it seems that happiness, depression, and mental illness can be catching. Feeling happy? Down in the dumps? Or been behaving strangely lately? Besides the obvious reasons, whether or not you're happy or sad or prone to the depression or the mental illness, it could be a consequence of an infection, or even down to the diseases that you don't catch during childhood. So it used to be thought that the immune system and the nervous system were worlds apart. Now it seems the immune system and infections can stimulate it, can influence your mood, memory, and the ability to learn. We've got this new information, my friends. The mind is amazing. We thought it all came from one place. Now it's different. This is some strange behaviors, obsessive-compulsive disorders, may be triggered by an infection, and the immune system may even shape our basic personalities, such as how anxious you get. The good news is that understanding these links between the brain and the immune system could lead to a new way of treating all kinds of disorders, from depression to Tourette syndrome. This is a massive shift in thinking, my friends. Not so long ago, the blood-brain barrier was thought to isolate the brain from the immune system. The cells that make up the walls of blood capillaries are joined together more tightly in the brain than elsewhere in the body, preventing proteins and cells getting back into the brain. Now, though, it's been becoming clear that antibodies, signaling molecules, and even immune cells often get through, sometimes with radical effects. In fact, immune cells do not even need to reach the brain to influence it. And here we look at some of the effects they could have. Sometimes antibiotics cure neurosis. It's such a weird thing. Here's an example. Sammy Maloney was a healthy, outgoing 12-year-old who played in the school band and liked nothing better than to dump his backpack after school and hang out with his friends in Kennebunkport, Maine. Then in 2002, Sammy's personality began to change. The first thing I noticed was that he was walking around the backyard with his eyes closed, said his mother. I asked him what he was doing, and he said he was mesmerizing. The next day, Sammy was again walking with his eyes closed and would only use the back door. Then he progressed to holding his breath while doing it, only wearing certain colored clothing, and refusing to allow the windows to be open or the lights to be switched off. Every single day was a new behavior, said Beth. He went from baseline to completely dysfunctional within a period of 4 to 6 weeks. How does that happen? Did you ever see anybody disintegrate in such a short period of time? I don't know what's wrong with me. Sammy was diagnosed with obsessive-compulsive disorder, then Tourette syndrome, and when he continued to deteriorate, his friend suggested testing Sammy for streptococcus, a common childhood bacterial infection that usually causes no more than a sore throat. By this point, Sammy was totally emaciated, and he was covered with things and scratching himself, said Beth. Sammy hadn't shown any signs of streptococcal infection, but it turned out he was infected. When doctors prescribed antibiotics, his symptoms began to improve. Within a few weeks, he was playing board games with his brothers. After 6 months of treatment, he recovered completely, said Beth. There's an illness that a lot of people have. I know it's called H. pylori, and it's in the abdomen. It's in the stomach. And it's it seems that like almost everybody carries around this infection in their belly, but some people manifest this disorder in a certain kind of way. In this particular case, a lot of people have found that once that H. pylori is treated, they are better. They get better. They get better in their mood and in their spirit. So now we're in trouble. The doctors look at things and they have them separated from psychological. The worst they could say is, oh, you're run down. We learned a short while ago that there was a specialist who treats people's obsessive-compulsive disorder by cleaning their ears. He was a psychiatrist who was a specialist in dealing with people's ear infections and their ear balance. And he said by treating the ear in 90% of the cases, he cures most psychological disorders. So now we have this interesting thing. Let's say you're an average holistic, health-conscious, natural person, and you want to have life be good the way it should be good for you. You're not likely to go to doctors to get blood tests, to check your cells, to look for infections. In fact, most of them wouldn't show up. One of the tests that are common, that I forget what it's called, it's a ureic test. It's a test where you can test your urine, and you can put a stick in it and see if it has, they have this little stick that they sell, and it tells you what's going on with your urine. It tells you if there's protein, but it also tells you the presence of white blood cells, which very often is an indicator. Now, I'm not a physician. I don't know this stuff, but I'm speculating because I do care about the human mind. And I can tell you up close, I have seen people who feel out of sorts physically, and I have seen their minds just deteriorate while they're in that place. They got to find the balance. So how do you treat it? Of course, antibiotics don't have to be treated, don't have to be the treatment for infections. But targeting the infections has to be. You have to know you have it. You have to know you have it. You have to know you have a fungus. You have to know. And these things can affect you. This is Armand DeMille with The Positive Mind. So going back to Sammy hadn't shown any signs of streptococcal infection, but it turned out he was infected. When doctors prescribed antibiotics, his symptoms began to improve. Sammy remained on antibiotics, had to be on antibiotics for 4 years. God bless what that must have done to his system. But the dose was reduced. He had taken things to rebalance his system. Now, at age 20, Sammy has none of the compulsions and none of the disorders. There's a woman at the University of Oklahoma in Oklahoma City, Madeline Cunningham, said that although extreme, Sammy's story isn't that unusual. She spent years investigating behavioral disorders linked to childhood streptococcal infections, including Tourette's syndrome, an OCD disorder called PANDAS, and the movement disorder called Sydenham's cholera, which is associated with tics and an ability to control inability to control emotions. Cunningham had suggested that, at least as far as Sydenham's cholera is concerned, the antibodies against one group of streptococcal bacteria can bind to receptors in the area of the brain that control movement. So here we have small disorders that we don't pay attention to, bacterial infections, viral infections. And here's the question. If you're out of sorts, but you're suddenly out of sorts, and you're more out of sorts than usual, or you're out of sorts in an unusual way, perhaps there's something going on. Perhaps there's something happening. So I had an experience of this myself when I talked about this pylori. For a short period of time, I noticed that every now and then, I would feel like burping. And some of you actually heard it on the air, and I was saying, what is this? What is it? And I checked it out, and it turned out that there was this H. pylori, which, after it was treated, all the stuff went away. But while I had that At the same time as I was having that symptom, I felt other mood changes that were unusual for me because usually I have a fairly positive attitude. But I could feel shifts. What about you? Now, not every child has similar antibodies. Not every child has the same reaction. But right now they're examining it. Okay. Now, in Manhasset, there's the Feinstein Institute for Medical Research. Betty Diamond, who is there, has shown that antibodies associated with the autoimmune disease lupus can get into the brain, and this might partly explain the mood changes and cognitive decline associated with lupus. Because people were always said, well, wait, lupus is lupus. Why would this happen? But we're beginning to learn. Behavior is affected depending on what makes the blood-brain barrier leak. When the barrier is compromised by inflammation, antibodies damage the hippocampus, impairing memory. When the barrier is breached by stress hormones like adrenaline, the antibodies damage the amygdala, making individuals more fearful. And that's what you could see, because if you ever look at people who are frightened, scared, you know, who tend to be easily worried and nervous, they're usually fragile people. And even though their bodies may be somewhat strong, there's a fragility about them, a sensitivity about them. What this research is suggesting is that what makes you fragile nervously also makes you fragile physically. So here we are back in science, going back hundreds of years, where we accounted for everything psychological through the physical. Nowadays, we've been looking at things like, you know, neurotransmitters, hormones. But this research indicates that there's a lot more going on, that the whole idea of the brain-body is much bigger than we think. You have tons of antibodies, even when we don't have clinical disease. These antibodies that we have in our body sometimes are in abundance, and sometimes they could really work on you. Linda Geddes did a research article on this. She said, down in the dumps, a shot of friendly bacteria could give you a boost you need. It was meant to be a new way to fight cancer. The idea was that injecting a certain bacteria into people would stimulate their immune system to destroy tumors. That was the concept, and this is a common concept. Unfortunately, the treatment had little effect on the survival of the terminally ill lung cancer patient in the first trial. It did have one unexpected effect, though. Those people injected with the bacterium experienced a radical improvement in their mood and quality of life. It was supposed to be a double-blind study, but the investigators could nearly always tell who was on the genuine treatment because their whole attitude and demeanor had changed. They just looked better. The investigators could tell who had been injected with the bacteria because their whole attitude changed. How can injecting a bacteria make someone's mood better? We don't know yet the details, but the animal study suggests that the immune response triggered by causes neurons in the prefrontal cortex to release large amounts of serotonin, boosting mood and well-being. This might seem odd given the immune stimulation that could lead to depression, but our relationship with these vaccines, with these antibodies, go back a long, long way. We are thought to have, our bodies have responded to different kinds of treatments that are not always what looks like they're being treated for, but your mood is very important. It's an important determinant. Down in the dumps is not always caused by something. Trying to figure it out doesn't work for beans. Going to see your doctors who don't know anything about this, well, that's another story, too, because they don't really account for anything, and they don't account for the mind. What they tell you is they say, oh, if you're having a physical effect, then there must be something wrong with you. You know, so take this mood stabilizer. Take this pill. Here's another article about this. This is Armand DeMille, by the way. It's 1:30 here at WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. We started a little late, so I'm just going to continue straight through to you. And we'll be taking your calls a little bit at 212-209-2900. Now, I'm not going to be able to answer questions about your physical well-being and your physical conditions, but you may have some anecdotes for us to hear about this, about what happened when you took care of yourself or when something changed that I would like to share with the audience. 212-209-2900. Let's look at T cells. The decline in our memories in old age may be partly due to the aging of immune cells, is a new concept. Could boosting the immune system keep the memory sharp as you age? Jonathan Kipnis, K-I-P-N-I-S, of the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, speculates that that's true. Prompted by studies suggesting immune responses can help repair the nervous system, Kipnis and his colleagues created mice that lacked CD4 cells, a kind of T cell. They found the mice performed extremely poorly in tasks involving learning and memory. But when they were injected with the CD4 cells from healthy mice, their memories improved. Similarly, when he killed CD4 cells in healthy mice, their memory declined. So now we're saying that memory is attached to these CD4 cells. So they found that learning new tasks triggers a mild stress response within the brain, and it prompts the CD4 cells to rally. Now, this is why they keep saying that activity for people who have deteriorating memories is such an important thing. Any kind of activity, by triggering new learning, you keep sharpening the brain in its own way, but we didn't know why. Whether the animal studies are relevant to human learning and memory remains unclear, but there is some indirect evidence to support it. There are chemotherapy drugs which suppress the immune system, which might explain why some people with cancer develop what's called chemo brain, a term used to describe the cognitive problems and memory loss associated with chemotherapy. There is no reason for that to exist. Sluggish immune cells might also explain why our brain cells slow down as we age. The number one cell affected by aging is the T cell. Now, I'm not saying it's the only factor leading to age-related dementia, but it certainly is one of them. If the immune system does play an important role in human memory, this could lead to new classes of drugs to boost it. It could lead to new treatments. It could lead to new nutritional approaches as well, if we pay attention to that. We're not paying attention to you have a poor mind, you're losing your memory here, take things that'll sharpen your memory. No. Let's find out if there's something else going on with you that we have to deal with as well. And who knows how you deal with it. It could be hydrogen peroxide, for all I know, and foot soaks. But there may be a way, whether it be holistic or medically. So I find this very exciting, my friends. I find all that we learn in the positive mind very exciting. I find it exciting that we can keep coming up with information that we bring to you. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the Facebook edition of The Positive Mind, which is now that we're on Facebook and we bring you WBAI and all of its strength, you can see a number of different things that I've been publishing on there, different programs that I've been putting together, brief programs for your information. And then they've been led by threads, which we want to use to be able to bring you to WBAI and to our connection to each other. So I want to hear from some of you at 212-209-2900. Now, chemical messages from the immune system can wreak emotional havoc if they cross into the brain. When we get sick, we often feel lethargic and lose our appetites. I could tell you a story about this. I once had a patient who I was treating, and I was hypnotized. I hypnotized a patient who had had a unique disorder, and it was, you know, she was a multiple personality. And so I would hypnotize to try to get to the different personalities and speak to them. One personality I got to was this angelic spiritual presence who, whenever the main character was not feeling well, was not available. So one day when she was available, I asked her, I said, why is it that you, the spirit, leaves this person's body? She said, when a person is sick, we leave. It's a kind of an interesting expression, because when you think about it, when a person says, how do you feel? They said, I lost my spirit. I lost my spirit. My spirit is gone. And that's exactly what they look like. I look at people I love, and I sometimes see them not feeling well. And I just want to hold them, because their spirit is gone. Well, here's what we're learning. We're learning that there could be chemical messengers that get our spirit to leave in some form. When we get sick, we feel lethargic, we lose our appetites, our concentration suffers, we feel anxious, depressed, antisocial. Now, here's the new thing. These changes are caused by signaling molecules called cytokines, cytokines, which are released by immune cells in response to stress and infection. So if you have stress and infection, you get cytokines. Cytokines will make you feel lethargic, lose your appetite. They make you feel anxious, depressed, or antisocial. Although cytokines are too large to pass freely through the blood-brain barrier, recent studies have shown that they can enter through naturally occurring regions of the body, and it doesn't have to cross the brain blood. I always find it hard to say the brain blood. They could also affect the nerves that transmit signals to the brain. There's growing evidence that cytokines, mind you, now these are changes caused by signaling molecules. These are molecules, cytokines, associated with inflammation can cause depression. Think about that for people with severe arthritis. Why that mood? You know, I mean, you say, okay, my arthritis is so bad, it hurts so much, I get depressed. No, there seems to be more evidence now that there's a direct correlation. It's not just your frustration. For instance, if you inject a healthy person with interferon alpha, an antiviral drug that prompts the release of inflammatory cytokines, they will begin to show symptoms of depression. Cytokines can interact with virtually every pathway relevant to depression. This was the study at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, Andrew Miller. The idea that inflammation induces behavioral changes makes evolutionary sense, too. So therefore, my friends, as you've been listening on WBAI and learning all that you can about keeping inflammation at a minimum, when you have the works of Gary Noh and Majid Ali and people like that who are teaching you how to live a life that is freer of inflammation, you could see inflammation and depression have a direct correlation. And now we're beginning to understand why. Cytokines are trying to shut your body down so that you can devote your resources to healing. But at the same time, a wounded animal is a target. So it needs to be hyper alert in case a predator comes into the scene. So we have this, you know, when you get wounded, any animal, you know, out there in the Serengeti or wherever you are in the forest, and if you get wounded, you have to have two things going on. You have to depress yourself so you can conserve your energy, but you have to stay on hyper alert. And what does that look like? That looks like an agitated depression. And that mood of agitation and depression seem to go together with feeling physically wounded. This guy Miller also suggested, he also recently imaged the brains of patients receiving interferon to treat hepatitis C. His team found that the drug activated the dorsal anterior cingulate cortex, a brain region involved in error detection. So he found that a person who was injected with this could not detect their own errors. Besides infections and toxins, and we're going to take your calls in just a minute, my friends, 212-209-2900. Stress can also release these cytokines. People who are under high stress, are two times more likely to be depressed. We didn't know why, right? We said why. Stress is only stress. There are people who live around this world in constant stress. Well, they live in constant stress. So why is it that they get depressed? Right? Because depression and stress seem to go together. Not because you get worn out, but because it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And it seems to be a natural thing. Now, the effect of cytokines are not all bad. University of California in Los Angeles said that some people become more sensitive to social pain when they're injected with a bacterial toxin. So it actually, in some ways, it helps you become more empathetic, which is not always good because you're feeling bad enough as it is. And if you become empathetic, then you wind up empathizing with other people's pain. And you don't need to take in other people's pains because people who are walking around with this kind of a disorder seem to be a sponge for other people's misery. A sponge. It's almost like they go out and fetch it. Hey, what a life. Well, this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We are meant to bring you new, interesting ideas day after day. And we are with you every Tuesday at 1 p.m. and almost every Wednesday. There seems to be some misunderstanding about which Wednesday it is. And not on Thursdays anymore. But to compensate for that, we have put up our Facebook broadcast, which you can now hear. And you hear new information and new programs about new stuff. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille on WBAI. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Armand. How you doing?
Hey there, Monroe.
Yeah. Listen, you know, we have this terrible situation that any group that has a growth, you know, in the sense of attendance, is looked upon by the government, the status quo, the police and the FBI and the CIA, as potentially a burgeoning dangerous force. And as a result, we have a thing called COINTELPRO, where we have, you might say, social spies who are reporting on us, even WBAI for that matter. That's why some of the people, when they make contributions, prefer to remain anonymous.
Oh, Monroe. Oh,
listen.
It's great. Thank you. No,
I'm not finished.
But you know me by now, Monroe.
No, and now we don't know where 96% of the universe matter is.
I love you, darling.
Yeah, listen. I know, love. But the thing is, we're living in one of the most terrifying and terrible financial chaoses that we could possibly ever have imagined.
Monroe, my love to you. We'll have to go back at another time because we want to stay on our subject today. Thank you very much. Your voice was heard. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. Where is the blood-brain barrier? What is its purpose in the human body?
It's in Brooklyn. I was passing by the other day. I saw it on the subway stop.
Oh, I missed that side. Yeah, Blood-Brain Street. Right.
Blood-Brain Street. Well, there's a good question for you. We're going to have to do a study on that as well.
Oh,
you always do ask your fascinating questions.
Oh, is it a valid question, is it not?
Yes, it certainly is valid.
Okay, fine.
So we learn from you as we learn from everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
212, it's in Brooklyn. Maybe it's on. Might be in New Jersey. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Armand, how are you? It's Marcus from Brooklyn.
Hello, Marcus.
I'm calling you because you were mentioning something about internal stuff, and maybe you can help me out.
Sure.
2 years ago, I had a handcuff suppression. It suppressed my wrist, and it swelled my hand. It gave me a lot of pain. That was in August. February of the next year, I was thrown to the ground, and I had to land on the same hand. I've been in pain now for the last 2 years. It kind of messes with my mood. I understand what you're talking about.
Sure it does.
When I get upset, it really starts to hurt.
Yeah, is there nothing you could do about the inflammation?
I don't have the inflammation. I feel I'm just in constant throbbing pain.
Well, you see, that's saying that there is something there. And there's got to be a way that you could track that down and look at it and treat it. And I know Just for example, on diet alone, you could do things that control the amount of inflammation that you feel. If you're in constant throbbing pain, there's something wrong.
Right.
You know, and it will affect your mood.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And so you're the kind of man who I want to be living as freely as you could possibly be, Marcus.
Right.
You might live right around the corner from the brain blood barrier. You're in Brooklyn.
Right.
You got to take care of all our brothers and sisters, and we got to get you taken care of too.
Like they were offering me these medications, but they're like the Lyrica makes you angry and violent. The Neurontes make you lightheaded and dizzy.
Now, maybe you could approach it nutritionally. Maybe you should write to somebody. Maybe write to Gary Null and ask him what you can do about a thing like that. You know?
That sounds good. You know, I don't want to take up much more of your time.
But thank you, Marcus. Thank you for calling. Nice to hear your voice.
Same here. Take care.
212-209-2900. I'm not a physician, my friends. I'm talking about something that affects me because as a therapist, when I interview people, sometimes I see things in addition to what the psychological is. I'm always suspecting mood disorders. I'm always expecting that there's going to be stuff that has to do with, there's always stuff that has to do with hormones. There's always stuff that has to do with physical condition. But we're beginning to learn that it's a lot more intricate and a terrific bunch of associations. We're learning. It's such an exciting world that we're learning. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on the call. And always,
thank you.
Like always, great shows. You brought up an issue in reference to the H. pylori.
Yes.
It's a horrible thing. I'm a younger man, and, well, not younger, whatever, I'll be 50, but still, it seems like as we get older, we start breaking down more and often. So, again, health is really important. But the H. pylori, I've been diagnosed with that already, probably going on my third year. And it seems like every year I wind up getting it again, and all the symptoms are always different. And it does affect you physically, and then it affects you also mentally.
Yeah, you can feel it, right?
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. I mean, and again,
how much have you done for treatment of the H. pylori? I know there's a pack. There's an antibiotic pack that they use.
Yes, yeah, a 10-day
thing, and then there are other things. I would wonder what, again.
I tried everything.
You tried everything, all the nutritional stuff and stuff
Yes, I tried the yogurt and putting back the bacteria, friendly bacteria back into the stomach and stuff, but somehow it finds another way to get back into you, but it affects you differently all the time.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to try this little psychological thing, if you don't mind. What's your name?
Alex.
Alex. Alex, is there something about your life that you can't stomach?
Where do I start? It's
besides the physical disorder.
No, it's a mental thing that has been happening.
What's happening? What's your life like? What's happening in your life that you just can't take anymore?
It's not that. I think that it's how I deal with it. It's probably, again, I know you're getting at the psychological aspect
of it.
Yes,
I am, sure.
So the reality is that, you know, I'm a giving person. I go out there and help people, and that's what I do. And again, I'm 50 now, 49 now, July I'll be 50. And then my wife is, like, whatever, 44 now. But we had a little girl. And she's autistic. She has autism. You probably have issues. No, that's one aspect. She's six
that's
and a
no
half.
That's no simple thing.
Well, she's 6.5 years old. I mean, she's physically, thank God, okay. And autism has all different layers. And again, I've done a lot of research on that. And, you know, it's hard. To this day, she doesn't say words. You know, she mumbles and stuff. So to this day, I haven't heard her say daddy, you know, and she can't even say the word no. So again, that's one issue. So again,
how old is she?
Six, a little bit past 6.5.
And how many years have you had this H. pylori?
3 years. Mm-hmm. But then again, that's one issue. So again, you know, we deal with it, and thank God she's a healthy person. Again, we take care of, you know, and give her all the love in the world because it is, you know, that's all. So you can, you know, give them. And again, you know, she's recovering. You know, it takes her a little bit slow and stuff. And that's one issue. And about 2 years ago, my wife got diagnosed with MS. Okay? So again, you know, there's a lot of adding to my plate and plus other things. So again, I understand the psychological.
Alex, where does your support come from? Where do you get support? Who supports
you? I guess it's just within myself. The bottom
That's
line
it.
Is that it's just within
That's
myself.
It. You have no buddies, no friends, no group you belong to.
And again, yes, I understand what you're getting at. I do my hobbies and I do things to get away. I do have friends and stuff. But again, I look at things totally different. I look at it that, you know, what it is it's God's
sure.
fate or the universe's fate.
And that makes you swallow it.
No, I just accept it for what
I know,
it is.
No, that's what I mean. So that's what you're saying.
I accept it for what it is.
And it's part of your physical symptom is saying to me, it's just going to sit here because it's this thing.
There's no end to it.
That there's no end to it.
No, because of my wife's, you know, and again, she reversed a lot of it, by the way. And that's almost impossible to hear. And we went through all the treatments and stuff and even the medical industry. Again, the medical industry, how it works is that, you know, they find it once you have it.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And that's, and like if you break your arm, you don't know, you give them all the symptoms, but until
Alex, my heart goes out to you. I really wish you had one good person, and I would hope it would be a really fine therapist that you could talk to about this stuff, because I have a feeling that your life is eating away at you. Even though you accept it and you have such a good spiritual attitude,
mm-hmm.
I think it's eating at you more than your mind allows you to believe.
Probably.
So, you know, I wish there was somebody you could consult with. If you ever want to find that, just send me an email and I'll direct you somewhere, okay?
I think my wife, you know, she's a caregiver, and I think that it's also, I'm trying to work with her and deal, she needs
I understand,
to speak.
I understand, but you need something bigger than that.
Yeah.
In fact, you know what you need that you never had? You never had a father, did you?
It's interesting you say that. My father died when in 89, so basically I realized that we as humans or men, whatever, we don't really understand our families, not until we hit in our 40s.
So you miss your father?
Well, again, yes. I mean, because I never really knew him.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. You never had a father.
Yeah, because I never really knew him. Cause I was
you know busy. How I could tell that?
Mm-hmm.
I could tell that from the ache in your voice. I could tell from the ache in your voice that you
yeah,
really
I never
feel
knew him.
That
is
you
it
feel
so busy
like you're
with
alone in this world, you know?
Well, again, I mean, it's like a lot of us, we're all alone. I mean, and we don't until we don't get to a certain point in our lives
and
until we start recognizing.
And that's something we've got to stomach. Thank you for calling in, Alex.
Thank you so much, Armand, for all
sure.
the help and everyone.
Sure. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello there.
Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was listening to your program, and I thought of a question to ask you, which may seem really far-fetched, but I'm going to try it anyway. Now, I was listening to BAI and the report of Papa Doc returning back to Haiti after 25 years and the manner in which he exited from the country under really somewhat chaotic...
We have just about a minute. Do you have a question that's direct
yeah.
for me?
Okay, my question to you is this. I knew it was going to be at the end. But what is your viewpoint in regards to the feelings or what could possibly be in the minds of baby Papa Doc?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. What's your name, by the way?
L,
thank you so much. I'm not going to be able to go into it in detail, but I am going to tell you this is something that I've been familiar with most of my life. I've spent a lot of time in Haiti. I've been down there during the Papa Doc regime. I see what's happening now, and I see this continuous battle taking place around Haiti. My opinion is that most of it aches all the time. It aches. Whenever it comes to Haiti in my world, it aches. And most people who know me know how I feel about this. So I wish I could go further with you, but it's just not the nature of our program here today because we're just about out of time. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, a sneak-on program. We thought it was something else, but I'm glad we were able to get with you. We're going to have to leave you now, but maybe it's time to leave you with some music that you would not expect. Here, my friends.